agree by saying amen. Amen. All right. Now, as we look at this teaching is for the Joshua generation. Now, I know my staff talked about, Pastor, let's call it something else instead of receiving your inheritance, but I just couldn't. I tried to turn, but I just couldn't. Now, we know it's the Joshua generation that I'm talking to, because you're the generation God's been waiting for. You're going to go over and you're going to take the promised land and all the promises. Say amen to that. Amen. So this is receiving your inheritance. It's going to be volume 2, and this is part 7. Now, it's called believing in the blessing. Believing in the blessing. Now, we look at this. Let's read our scripture, verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 2. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy hand Zion, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it now and contend with him in battle. In other words, you're going to have to fight for everything you get. And that fight is a good fight of what? Faith. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Glory to God. All right, so as you look at this and read in Deuteronomy, what we're saying here basically is that now we're going into Canaan land. And as we're going into Canaan land, it's before faith might have been an option. But now faith is going to have to be mandatory, because if you're going to go in there and take the giants, you're going to have to do it in God's ability. And faith connects you with God's ability. Let's go over to Joshua, please, in Joshua chapter 5. Over in Joshua chapter 5, we see here, let's start here reading at verses 6 and 7. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and what? Honey. All right, let's go down here to verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal. Now, this rolled away the reproach. Reproach means shame. I've rolled away the shame from off you. In other words, you'll not be ashamed anymore. I rolled that away. I'm taking it away. Now, what can make you ashamed is not knowing your privileges and your rights. Say amen to that. Amen. And I'm talking about these giants here. You don't know your rights. They can make you ashamed. And I'm just saying that the Christian community should be a blessed community. We should be people that are operating much beyond the world's way of operating and much beyond the world's ability. Now, you'll see what I'm getting at here in just a minute. So as I look at that God is taking us into some places, we call it the promised land, and we're the next generation, we're going to reach in there, and they had Caleb or Joshua to lead them. And this promised land is a land of faith. It's not a place to retire. It's a place to fight. It's a place that you receive the promises that God has for you. Now, God will never let you face anything you cannot overcome. God, and overcome by faith. God will never allow you to face anything you cannot overcome. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And then we're going to go over to and show you over in Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 4. All right? So look what he says here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you. Now that word temptation you can put in your Bible, test and trial. Taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, you'll never face anything you cannot overcome. I don't care whether it's financial. I don't care whether it's physical. I don't care whether it's in your marriage. Whatever it is, if you face it, you can overcome it. Say amen to that. All right, now I'm just letting you know, because 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. Whoever's born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Even our faith. So here he is saying that, hey, wait a minute, you can overcome this thing. Now, what is Jesus? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he's talking about Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, now, sin is interesting. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. The Bible even said in 1 John, talks about all unrighteousness is sin. In 1 John chapter, and murmuring, complaining, oh, that's unrighteous. So God never intended for you to murmur and complain about anything. Say amen to that. So he's saying here that in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus took your shame. On the cross, he's hung there, took your shame. So when he took it, that means you don't have to take it. Amen. You don't have to have shame. He took your shame. He became a curse for us. So he took it right there on the cross. But it says here, put it up there again, please. He says, put the scripture up there on the board, please. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus is going to be working with your faith. Say amen. Amen. I think he even says, I think it's in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. He says, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I'm not sure whether that's the right verse, but that's what he said. Because faith is going to be the essential thing that's going to get you to your destiny. Say amen to this. Now, we know faith works by love. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. But my point to you is you'll never face anything you cannot overcome. Well, let's look at that. Let's look at a sample of that. It's like in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. In Mark 4:35, this is when Jesus, now with the disciples, he said, let us go over to the other side. In other words, here they were on one side of the lake or whatever it was. He said, let us go to the other side. So they got in the ship and they began to go to the other side. And there was also with them other little ships. And he said, next verse, please, just stay up with me, please. Thank you, Lord. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship. It was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we are about to die? Now, this wind and this storm is about to sink that boat. And he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Watch this. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. Question. Did he expect them to still that storm? Amen. Then they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It didn't obey him. What did it obey? Faith. He obeyed his faith. And they had the same faith that he had, that God had imparted to them, so that they could do the same thing that he did. Say amen to this. Amen. So he was expecting them to stop the storm. Now, what would this storm have done if perhaps Jesus wasn't on that boat and they didn't use their faith? It'll kill them. And then somebody would have said, well, the Lord was testing them. The Lord wasn't testing them. The devil was trying to kill them. Watch this. And Jesus was trying to perfect them. Got it? So he leads you into places that he knows you can overcome, but he's trying to perfect you. Why? Because pretty soon you're going to have to take the giants. You're going to have to get back your possession that God sent Jesus to the cross to die for, and he died for your healing. He died for your marriage problem. He died for all of that he died for, and he wants you to get it. Everything Jesus died to provide, God wants you with it. He doesn't want you to leave this earth without it. He wants you to leave here healed. He wants you to leave here strong. Say amen to that. Well, how am I going to die if I don't get sick? Now, that means I got to work some on your mind. You need your mind worked on. Praise God. All right. Now, so here is Jesus. He's taking them to the other side. They run up on a storm, and you won't face anything you cannot overcome. So now, here, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 2, and verse 9. Look what he says. He says, but it is, as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, or the natural part of us, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So the natural part of you doesn't know this. As a matter of fact, he says over in what? 1 Corinthians 15, I think, in verse 50, he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, let's just stay here. Stay here. But God, okay, praise God. Okay. But God, that's cute. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man that's in him? And even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows all about God. Your spirit knows all about you. Now you're going to put those together, and you got perfect knowledge. You're getting perfect knowledge. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, come on, of God. No, everything God's going to give you is free. That Jesus died and paid the price for everything you're going to get. Now, the thing about it, if you don't have faith, then it's going to cost you something. Praise God. Because faith in the kingdom becomes your currency. And you have to have faith according to your faith, be it unto you. Say amen to that. Now, God may give you the thing or the thing to get the thing. So, but anyway, it's already paid for. God has paid for it. Next verse. Did I have a next verse on that? Praise God. All right. So, let's keep going now. So now, we are moving into getting your inheritance. And let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Getting your inheritance as a child of God. And remember what Jesus did. He got it all back. He died on the cross, took your curse, and made it and went to hell and paid your price. And now he's raised from the dead, and he raised from the dead, defeated the enemy, and went and put the blood on the mercy seat of heaven. And now the blood cries out, not guilty. Why? Because a man fell and put all men into bondage, called Adam. And another man called Jesus, who the Bible calls is the last Adam, he didn't fall. He went to hell and got it back. You got what I'm saying? So God has put you back in the Garden of Eden. So you're going to take up where Adam left off. Say amen before you say. All right, look what he said. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I want you to see that blessing, because there's no S on that. It's one blessing. All right? So this one blessing that you get. Now, this is where we get involved here and go a little deeper. Praise God. When we talk about the blessing, we have to look at what it is. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the first place that we see it, it's found in Genesis chapter 1. Let's start reading at verse 26. And the Lord said, God said, let us make man our image after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So you can put in your Bible, God has given me dominion over creeps. All right? Now that little human there, praise the Lord, little human. Okay? So now, if you look at this, all right, and you'll see that he's in verse 28, he said, and God blessed them, underline blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fishes, he over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All right, let's just focus in for a moment on the fact that God blessed them. Now, what is blessed? This word blessing is the Hebrew word barakah. The accent is on the last part of the word. And it comes from the root word bless, which means is in the Hebrew barak, as the president spells his name, and you've heard it before. And this is an empowerment, or to be endued with power for success. The blessing. Now, God says, I'm putting an empowerment on Adam. Now, that's what the scripture has named the power that created all matter. In fact, it's a supernatural power that God released to bring all matter into being. That's the scriptural name for it. Blessing. Blessed. So now, as we look at this, this blessing is on Adam. Why? Because it created matter, and now God is putting it on mankind to continue creation. So now, God says, I'm putting an empowerment on your life that causes things to happen for you that are above ordinary people. This blessing is going to be on you, this barakah, and it's going to cause things to manifest for you. This blessing is going to cause opportunities to come to you. It's going to cause resources to come to you. It's also going to cause whatever you're struggling with financially, glory to God, and any difficulties that you're having financially, it's going to turn things to your favor. The blessing's going to do this. Now, how do you receive what I'm talking about? All right, look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. He says this. He says, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, yeah. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God didn't make the world out of something you could see. He made it out of something that you couldn't see. And by faith, we understand that. Now, what did I just say? Not by human reason do we understand that. We've got to take it at face value. We've got to receive it by faith. So you read it in the book, and this is what you say, I believe that. Now you have no idea how you're going to stop a storm, or you have no idea how you're going to lay hands on the sick and they get healed, but you do take it by faith. Watch this. And after you receive it by faith, you'll understand it afterwards. That your carnal mind or your thinking is going to catch up with your faith. But you have to receive it by faith. So as I'm teaching this right here, you're going to have to receive it by faith. Because as your preacher here, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, he says that, glory to God, he says that, how then shall they call on him who they've not believed? And how can they believe on him who they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul says, the word of faith which we preach. Now all this that I'm preaching is true. Amen. Say amen. Now, I've got to receive it how? By faith. So this is true. So now I go back here to Adam in terms of Adam's life, because he's got this blessing on him now, and things are going to start happening in his life. Look at verse 18, if you will. And in verse 18, he says here, glory to God. He says, let me see these numbers down here. I'm just seeing what they got here. Praise God. Very good. Okay, you got it. All right. verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Alone is contraction, means all one, okay, before Eve came. Notice he gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch, everybody read that? That's not in this lesson, but that's something that you might want to catch up with. And I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, I want you to see this, because he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, that sounds like a small thing. Now, as you're going down here, Adam then named the animals. Now, what's happening? What's at work here? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. And look what he says here in Proverbs 10, verse 22. He says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Got it? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, give me that in the NIV. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. So you don't have to toil anymore. Now, if you look at this word blessing of the Lord, this is the word barakah. Now, what is this barakah going to do? It's going to take you up above the natural operation of mankind. It's going to take you into supernatural provisions, supernatural increase of finances, supernatural fruitfulness, supernatural longevity and protection, supernatural health, supernatural favor, supernatural promotion. Now, this blessing is going to do that. It's going to be the thing that significantly distinguishes you from the world. And this blessing has come on your life through the Abraham, through Christ. It says in Galatians 3:13, Christ had redeemed us, or you, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? So that the what? Blessing of who? Abraham is going to come on the Gentile. The blessing of Abraham is the same blessing that was in Eden. It's the Eden blessing. So that blessing of the Lord was on Abraham. Now, we'll get that in a minute, but I want to just show you this, because this is key. So this blessing is an empowerment for success, that things that you touch are going to prosper. And it's going to significantly affect your life. In other words, it's going to affect all areas of your life. Now, in this blessing, glory to God, is, hold it just a minute. I'm just, the reason why I'm doing this, I could teach you without notes, but I want to make sure I cover everything, because I hate to get you out of here, and then I said, man, I should have covered that. Ain't going to be no more of that. I'm just going around the table. So anyway, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. Now, why does he say that? Why did I say he brought the animals to Adam? Because that this empowerment or enablement that's on your life, glory to God, is the thing that makes it so that you don't have to add to yourself. It makes it so that you won't have to go out here and do some foolishness trying to get enough provision to take care of your family or whatever. Are you with me here? So basically it says it adds no sorrow with it. So this blessing adds no sorrow, and the sorrow came from the curse. And in Genesis, praise God, I'm not going to read all of this. Just read it yourself. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, he talks about sorrow. He said, because of the curse, all the days of your life, he said, in sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life, and thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. So thorns is representing the curse. Say amen to this. Amen. Toil is representing the curse. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, let's just deal with thorns and thistles. Are you ready? So look at Matthew chapter 27. And in Matthew chapter 27, look what it says in verse 29. This is when Jesus was now taken, this is just before the crucifixion, and he's being interrogated. And when they had plaited a crown of what? Thorns. They put him upon his head. Got it? So notice what they're doing. They're symbolically putting the curse on Jesus. I want you to see this here. All right? And let's go down to the next verse. They mocked him and so forth. And they spat upon him and took a reed and smote him on the hand. Now that reed is symbolic of a king having a scepter. And this scepter is signification of the king's authority. So they took the reed and beat him. And here's a revelation. If you don't know your authority, Satan will take it and beat you with it. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm giving you something here because you got to receive this by faith. All right? So now, if we come back to the scripture, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it, and understand that the tendency because of the fall is to get things with human effort. So I might beg, borrow, steal, but do all kinds of stuff. But let's look at the blessing work for Peter in Luke chapter 5. Turn over there, please. And in Luke chapter 5, look what he says, starting at verse 1, if you will. Are you with me so far? And it came to pass that when the people pressed upon to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he had thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Watch this. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. A draught means great increase. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have what? Toil. Now, there it is. He was toil how long? All night. And what happened? And have taken nothing. Nevertheless, what? At thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. And what happened to the net? The net broke. And they beckoned to them, the partners which were in the other ships, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they now begin to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Glory to God. So the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without toil for it. So this blessing is now attached to our lives. And when it's attached to our lives, we can't shake it off. We can't wash it off. Watch this. And the devil can't separate you from it. Now, this blessing is on you to give you supernatural this, supernatural increase, supernatural favor, supernatural longevity, supernatural protection. Everything this blessing is did for Adam and did for Abraham, it's going to do for you. Now, this blessing has to be embraced, because if I don't trust and embrace the blessing won't function for me. It'll be just, you'll be just like anybody else. But now if you hear what I'm saying to you and understand that, wait a minute, hold on now. Where did the fish come from? Are you with me? The fish just didn't show up. The blessing is at work to bring the fish or whatever financial increase you need into your life, independent of toil, independent of you struggling for it. Watch this. And independent of you trying to add to yourself. So you don't have to think of a scheme anymore. Just embrace the blessing. Now, when that blessing does come on your life, somebody said, well, you mean I don't have to work? Sure, he had to work to pull him in. But he didn't have to toil to make it happen. It functioned with such distinction that it brought him to his knees. Lord, have mercy. You don't have to open up doors. All right, let's see this. Look at Genesis and come over in Genesis and chapter 40. I think that's where it is. In Genesis chapter 40. Let me know when you get there. Now, this is when Joseph was in jail. Let me have a Kleenex there. This is when Joseph was in jail. And so two people got put in jail as well. And Pharaoh put them in there. Verse 2. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the baker. Y'all heard the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker? Well, this is just the butler and the baker. Now, as I look at this, they had a dream. And in verse 6, Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked on him, and it's what he said. He saw they were very sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, why are you so sad? Now, how many of you know misery loves company? Stay with me. So if you look, they told him that they had a dream. And verse 9, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, glory to God, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though so forth and so on and so on. And here's verse 13. Verse 12. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, and the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto the place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup unto his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. So you're going to get restored back to your job. Watch this. But think on me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness, and I pray thee unto me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, please, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, and he went through the background. Then the chief butler in verse 16, he gave him his future, and his future was he gonna be killed in 3 days. Well, that was a bad thing. I think the butler hated that he asked him that. Now, all right. Baker. All right. So he went up there, got his job back, watch this, and forgot about it. So did. Show did. Okay, that's all right. You're right on, sister. You're right on. I'm talking about how many people forgot about you. I'm talking about when they got there, forgot about you. My point to you is, it doesn't make any difference. Because the blessing opens doors. See, what we've tried to do, we've tried to know somebody at City Hall. Come on, we've tried. Come on, I'm talking to you. We've tried to know somebody down there at the job. We've tried to know. See, we're trying to beat the system. But you don't beat the system, you dominate it. And you don't need you. Favor of God, supernatural favor, will get you what you request. Now, the reason why it won't get you what you request is because you don't believe it. That is the only reason why it won't get you what you request. You got to believe this. They had to believe they could stop a storm for it to stop. Now, why am I saying that? It's because here, notice, Joseph didn't get all bent out of shape, but he did try to get them to speak up for him. God then, 2 years later, gave Pharaoh a dream. And the one that got put back up there said, hey, you know, that was a homeboy. Now, that was a guy down there in prison. He interprets dream. Pharaoh said, get him up here. Boy, they cleaned Joseph up, and got him right up there. And what did Joseph do? He interpreted the dream. Yeah. What did Pharaoh do? Watch this. Pharaoh said, you the man. Yeah. Watch this. From prison to prime minister, no management training. Why? Because the blessing makes you proficient. I'm just letting you know. Listen now. See, don't be thinking because they went to that school, they got some goods on you. Not with the blessing on your life. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? Now notice, Joseph didn't stick his lip out, get all mad, you know. Why? Because if you drop into that, you drop out of love. And if you come out of love, you come out of faith. And if you come out of faith, the blessing doesn't work. Come on, Black Lives Matter. Now, hear what I'm saying.
I'm saying that. You better hear what I'm saying. Don't get mad at me. I got the answer for you right here. Say amen to this. Now, I'm saying, God, those people should not be unjustly treated. You hear what I'm saying? They should not be unjustly treated. But the real answer to it is the blessing. Watch it. Because with the blessing, it not, first of all, it's going to take you up above everybody else. Let's look at it. Job, real quick now, put him up there on the board. Job chapter 1, and let's look at verse, start at verse 1. And Job chapter 1, verse 1, he says, and there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born of him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Well, let's put it up there in the Living Bible translation, real quick. He said this. He says that same particular scripture, he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5 teams of oxen, and 5 female donkeys, and he also had many servants, and he was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Come on down to verse 10, please, and do it in the King James, verse 9, and do it in the King James translation, please. Verse 9 in the King James. And Satan answered the Lord, does God fear Job? Does Job fear God for naught? Has thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on how many sides? Every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes. So wait a minute. You've what the blessed done of his hands? What were you done with his hands? You blessed the work of his hands. Now, notice, glory to God. Give me 1 minute. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, I'm coming back to Job. He said this. He said, it shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments, do what he says, which I command you this day, that the Lord God shall set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Now, how high is he going to set you? High above what? Above everybody. What community you go in, you're going to be higher than the highest man. It doesn't make any difference now, because I'm going to show you that's what the blessing does. All right? Now, let's show this. Let's go back to Job and look at Job. Glory to God. And chapter 9 again. And Job chapter, not chapter 9. Job chapter 1. I'm rushing now. Job chapter 1, verse 9. He knows what I mean. And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him? A hedge was around him. That's a blessing wall. Yeah. Nothing can penetrate it. Just imagine angels standing around you. Nothing can get through. Nothing natural, nothing spiritual. It can't get through. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. It can't get through. Now, this was around Job. Watch this. Who could see it? Satan. But Job got into fear and lost track of it.
Right.
See, fear pulls you down out of the spirit. Yeah. That's why you can't fear anything, because it doesn't let you see what's yours. Yeah. See, Satan saw that blessing on him, but also Job had pulled part of it down. The wall had come down in a certain spot, and that's when Satan entered in and put all that on him. But notice what he said about it, verse 10. And notice what he said about it again. He said that you put about his house, about what all that he had on every side. So his house represents his children. So Satan can't even get to them crazy kids that's acting up. Come on now. I know they're acting up, but I got a blessing, because God said, if you believe, he will use you to sanctify the whole house. See, lose you. Them kids going out there, everybody get hurt but your kids. Come on now. I'm saying that because that's the blessing. It sticks to you. It makes, Lord have mercy. But you can't drop that. You can't let Satan suckle you in to make you think that, wait a minute, they mistreating me and so forth. Mistreating you, okay, so what's going to be your response to that? You're going to get mad. You're going to get bitter. You're going to go out there and so forth and so on. I got a better response for you. Drop back in the blessing. You can take everything everybody's got. Then you can set some new laws in the land. Come on now. You can hire and fire. Glory to God. Are y'all with me?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Amen. This is a bunch, tough bunch. Come on, we're going over, saints of God. Look what the Bible said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 1. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he talks about offense. He said, he spake a parable to them and said that men ought to, Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Luke chapter 17 verse 1. I'm trying to be, I got to get you out of here. In 17 verse 1, he said to the disciples, it is impossible, but that what? Offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. See, if they try to curse you, they're going to be cursed. You wait till I go over that. Folks, you got it made. All you got to do is believe God. I don't care what color you are, you going up. I don't care what background you got. Listen, if you got born again, you are a new creature. Everything you ever did is erased, and you're going up from now on. See, the reason why the church hasn't gone anywhere, because this hasn't been preached. The blessing's got to be preached for you to believe it. And once you believe it, I'm telling you, who brought the fish there? God, the blessing brought them there. God got the fish there. All they had to do was obey God. Launch out into the deep. And when he did and let down the net, the fish broke the net. Not one fish was on the sideline saying, not today, Jesus. Not one fish. Every one of them tried to break that net. And I'm telling you, you got business that's coming into you. You, come on, you got contracts. You got doors coming open. You give God praise because we're going up. This is it, saints of God. I hit it. When we went on that fast, this is what God gave me, and he gave it to me because of you. Because somebody in here been crying out, said, Lord, what you gonna do for us? We've been mistreated. We've been held back. But God is saying, I'm taking you to the top. I'm opening doors. I'm putting you, giving you favor, and I'm gonna protect you while you rise. All right, sit down. If you need to be born again, Lord have mercy. If you need to be born again, I want you to do something. Get up out of your chair and come on up here quick, because I got to get you born again. You got to get the blessing. You got to get the blessing. If you don't have it, you got to get it. Come on. It's going to wipe out everything in your past. It's going to start you brand new. If you know that Jesus needs to be in your life, you need to be born again and get this blessing.